You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Friday's Racing Podcast. My name is Jack and I'm joined by Kevin O'Malley to have a look at some of the races later on. But a couple of things to touch upon first. Kevin, how are you?
I'm very well indeed. I had a nice weekend last weekend in Ireland and enjoyed a decent win with Dancing Star, who I napped on the William Hill Naps table, and she'd done us a really good favour that day. And looking forward to some good racing this month.
Sounds like a productive weekend, and hopefully you'll have a productive Friday, followed by another productive weekend.
That's the idea. We try to be productive every day and keep as busy as we can and hopefully find a few more winners as we go along.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one thing that obviously has been in the news all this week, and I know it was discussed on Racing Radio yesterday, as you mentioned earlier, but this gamble that happened, and it's still dominating the Racing Post. The headline on Thursday's Racing Post: bookmakers claim Burns coup damages the sport's image.
They would say that after losing several million pounds, I suppose. But in one way, they are right, in the sense that these horses were running and they were priced previously, and they didn't show anything like the form they showed the other day. And that is the downside to it. The upside to it is, you know, first and foremost, before everything else, I'm a punter. And from a punting point of view, you have to admire what they did in terms of execution and all of that side of stuff. But, you know, I mean, when people are complaining when this happens, they're expecting racing to be geared towards this perfect utopia product that it's just never going to be. I think we just have to accept that sometimes stuff like this is going to happen. The great thing about racing is there's always another race around the corner for us to look at. Nobody's forcing you to have bets in these races. And there was early market, it was flagged up very early in the day that there was a gamble going on. So it wasn't like it was a last minute surprise.
And I think it damages racing, but certainly gets it talked about in wider circles. I've got people who generally, on a day-to-day basis, barring Cheltenham and the Grand National and a few other major festivals, very rarely talk about racing. But knowing that I was involved with William Hill, a few people actually texted me and came up to me and said, you know, can you tell us more about this gamble? Mm. It sort of interested a few people that maybe wouldn't otherwise have been looking on what was a fairly standard weekday of racing.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to respect it in a certain way, especially in sporting and betting circles amongst people like ourselves who cover the sport, because it's a monumental effort to get three horses to peak and show form that they've never shown before, to actually get them to the same races and the same evening, the same meeting, and for them all to go and win, and you know, obviously to get their bets on as they did and pull it all off. And you know, there was plenty of William Hill Radio listeners who were following it throughout the day. Live on air. I wasn't on that day, but I hear that it was being followed live on air, and plenty of listeners tuned in and managed to get on board. So it wasn't all negative. There was a lot of positives to come from it as well. So it's a mixed bag.
And Davy Russell certainly wasn't negative about it. He's described it as a bit special. It's more than a bit special, isn't it?
Yeah, well, let's not get into how much he made on the evening, or you know, if he might have been given a few quid as a thank you, who knows?
Yeah, a couple of pounds maybe. More excitingly, in the future, though, looking ahead rather than back, so many Group 1 winners are now named in the Champion Stakes on Champions Day, which attracted a record number 256 entries. That's mightily impressive.
Yeah, I mean, fascinating. Rock, who won the Champion Stakes last year, is going to have a job in his hands if even half of those horses manage to stand their ground. Obviously, the racing will cut up, but it's fantastic to see the overwhelming success story that Champions Day has become, despite the fact that it's right at the back end of the season, despite the fact that it's likely there might be a shower or two or a little bit of soft ground around. You know, it is an overwhelming success, and you know, be fantastic. Can't wait to see how it all unfolds later on in the season. Plenty of action to get onto before then, mind, with the Ebor Festival on the horizon. Obviously, the Haydock Sprint Cup is early September, so there's a lot of water to go under the bridge before we get to that.
Yeah, absolutely, but hopefully not a lot of water on the course. Ready for that. But we are at Ascot for the Shergar Cup as well. The riders have been revealed, including Hayley Turner, who's come out of retirement for this. What do we make of it?
A lot of people don't embrace the Shergar Cup. Indeed, I didn't until 2 or 3 years ago, where one Saturday afternoon I was pretty bored, there wasn't really much going on, and I just said, oh, I'll get stuck into this. And I think I backed Ireland, or I could have backed maybe the European team. I'm not sure. I backed one of the teams anyway. I thought there might be a bit of value. I think they were the outsider of the four. And they won for me. And I was screaming them on throughout the afternoon. And I thought, oh, this is a really nice dynamic. You know, it's not just... Racing is not a team sport, is it? It's horse and man, and or woman, as it may be. But I just quite enjoyed it. A lot of people are quite damp about it. Obviously, you don't see a lot of top class talent on the day, but just for what that one day is, not so much about the horses, more about, you know, seeing some fantastic jockeys. We've got a South African maestro, Gavin Lorena, coming over. Japanese star Kenichi Akizo is over again. Emma Jane Wilson, and obviously a host of stars from home shores. So it'll be an interesting day, if nothing else. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, and teams, as you say, they are important. They are important. Yeah. And with the Olympics being on at the same time, people will be focusing on team efforts. And Team Europe, of course, captained by Frankie Dettori, who had a good weekend in Germany previously, but he'll be making his 10th appearance in the Shergar Cup this year. So that's taking place, but we're going to have a look at Friday's racing ahead of that. So we're going to start with a couple of races from Musselburgh. Later on, we'll be looking at Haydock and Newmarket as well. But Kevin's going to take a look at a 7-runner race. It's Class 4 over the 7 furlongs. It's a Phillies handicap, and it's the 3:30 at Musselburgh. Where do we start with this one?
Yeah, it's a tricky little race. And the top horse, Forever a Lady, she's a consistent sort, and she got off the mark at Ayr last time out. The big question mark for her is the going, because all of her best form is with a considerable cut in the ground. Sin Possium has to be respected for the inform. William Haggis Yard, I mean, he's been churning out the winners like there's no tomorrow, and this 3-year-old seems to be coming into form at the right time. But in a tricky contest, as I say, I'm happy to give a chance to Richard Fahey's Mustique, whose form figures of late aren't quite the sexiest. But if you look behind them, there is Shades of Promise. It was better than the Bear result when 7th at Newmarket last time out. She stayed on from off the pace in the closing stages. The handicappers dropped her another £2. The conditions here will suit her, and she might just be a little bit of value in the race. So I'm happy to take a little chance on Mustique in that race.
Yeah, Mustique, as Kevin said, for Richard Fahey in the 3:30 from Musselburgh. Half an hour later, we move on to the Archerfield Cup. It's a handicap. It's a Class 2 race, and there are 8 runners here, so a bit of each-way value, as long as it stays that way. Over the 1 mile and the 6 furlongs, where do we begin sorting these out?
I think the logical place to start is with Steve Rogers, who went off a well-back favourite in the Chester Cup and again was high in the market for the Northumberland Plate at Newcastle last time out. He didn't seem to handle the track that day, but overall he's finished out of the frame on 2 occasions where he's been fancied to do so. So he's proved a disappointment to his followers at the end of the day. Last time out at Ascot, though, he put in solid effort over this trip. He went down fighting to a useful and very game Alan King horse called Ocean. The handicappers only put him up £1 for that, which is fair, and I think he's going to take all the beating. Gabriel the Hero, I think, is probably his main danger. He's very similar on form, but he actually managed to finish 6th in the plate at Newcastle last time out. He won't mind the return to a mile and 6, so I think he rates as the main threat. But I'm hopeful that this is a good opportunity for Steve Rogers to get off the mark.
Steve Rogers, then, for Roger Varian and Harry Bentley. Any other ones sort of further down that just you maybe give a squeak, or is it just between those two you mentioned, really?
Yeah, I mean, Zand has got a little bit of a chance. Intense Tango each way. Probably the best of the each way shouts would probably be Mark Johnston's Vive Mafil. She's tough on her day and she can make the running, but she's just a little bit in and out for me, so I was just happy just to side with the more solid form on show.
Yeah, okay, so that's the selection for Kevin in the 4 o'clock at Musselburgh. We move from the afternoon meetings to the evening meetings, and we have action from Newmarket and Haydock. We start with the latter, and we go to 7:20. This is a nursery, it's a Class 4 race, and there are 7 runners here. Well, I mean, Tommy Taylor's going to start the favourite here, but which horse is going to have your money on it?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's not a great deal between Tommy Taylor and Londinium. on their course and distance meeting back in early July. Strangely enough, for July, that was on heavy ground, and Lundinium got the better of the argument that day. But Tommy Taylor appreciated a much faster surface at York a month later that month, and he didn't look a bad prospect. But the race did rather go his way at York last time out, and I just can't really quite choose between Lundinium and Tommy Taylor, and as a result, my eye was clung towards Mursheen Durkin, who got off the mark at the third attempt at Beverley last time out. Seems versatile ground-wise, though I think he will appreciate this stiffer 7 furlong, should get a mile plus in due course, as a son of Fastnet Rock. But 7 furlongs around Haydock should be right up his street, and he could follow up for Tom Dascombe and Richard Kinscott. So it's Mursheen Durkin for me in the 7:20 at Haydock.
Mursheen Durkin, the selection then for Kevin, with Lundinium and Tommy Taylor also fighting it out at the top of the market. So that's Haydock then. 7:20 was the race there. We move on to Newmarket. 7:45. This is a Fillies handicap. It's a Class 3 race over the mile, and there are 9 runners here.
There are some interesting ones here. It's an interesting race, probably the most interesting of the 4 we're going to mention today in terms of potential versus experience. Dazzling Rose and City Chic are the potential. Dazzling Rose, she won last time out. She looked pretty good. She didn't run for a long time between February and winning her maiden at Newmarket last month. It was a fair effort after a layoff. She grabbed the rail after a furlong, so made every post a winning one. This is her first step into handicap company off a mark of 88. And it's going to be a little bit tougher for her, I feel. City Chic has to be respected, but hasn't been seen since last August, which is a year ago. With the best will in the world, fitness has taken on trust, even from the Godolphin and Charlie Appleby set up. But she does have group race entries, and she's obviously respected and intriguing contender is City Chic. I'm just going to go against the top of the market and have a cheeky little each way play on EJTK, who comes from further down the weights, with George Wood taking £7 off for Ewie Morrison. She was a little bit out of her depth in a soft ground listed race at Sandown last time out, but the form of her Windsor maiden before that has worked out really well, with 2 subsequent winners hailing from that race, and I think she's interesting back in handicap company from a mark of 77. As I say, you have to respect the potential of the top 2 in the market, but I'm going to have a little each way play on EJTK.
Yeah, EJTK, 1 of 3 distance winners in the field, is it's the each way selection from Kevin. So that's all the races we're going to look at today. Meetings from Brighton, Musselburgh, Haydock and Newmarket. And that's Friday's racing covered. The racing podcast will be back for Saturday. And don't forget, all of the podcasts, including all of those for the new football season and across all different sports, can be found at williamhill.com. You can hear Kevin regularly on William Hill Racing Radio, which is on air every afternoon and evening, and will take you through every race on every card. That's it from us. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Cheers, Jack.
And we'll speak to you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.